beautiful souls, and welcome to the Find Your Feminine podcast with your host, Carly Jade, where we discuss all things harnessing your menstrual cycle, trusting your intuition, and letting go of limiting beliefs. I am a rapid transformational therapy practitioner helping women just like you all over the world find themselves, uncover their soul's purpose, and live an abundant life fully in feminine flow. I am so happy that you've shown up today. And without further ado, ladies, let's jump straight into today's episode. My podcast, Find Your Feminine. I hope you have missed me. I've missed you guys so much. I had probably close to a month off Instagram and podcasting just to, I guess, realign and get back to myself during that crazy period. And obviously, it was spent a lot of time with friends and family and doing all that good stuff. Went to Fraser Island for a week, camping on the beach and forward driving and swimming. And I have never been so tan in my whole entire life. I'm someone that burns, but recently I switched my sunscreen to from like using the typical 50 plus whatever, the you know, the blue and yellow one. I think it's Nivea, I don't know. And then I switched it to Mugu, which is a local natural skincare brand, and they have like a 40 plus sink sunscreen that you put all over your body, and I put that on every day, never got burnt. Only got tan. Oh my god, I think I cracked the code of life right now. So it's summer here in Brisbane or Australia, in the southern hemisphere, and yeah, loving my tan. So I hope you've all had a really refreshing and relaxing time over Christmas, New Year. I know for some people it can be quite intense. Definitely if you've got maybe family across the state or country or globe, even not being able to go home during this time could have been really hard. But I hope you're staying strong. And although the first couple of days of 2021 already saw us go into another lockdown, I am feeling pretty positive. This year is going to be ginormous for you, for me, for everyone. I can feel it. It's the age of Aquarius. I'm an Aquarius. And all these good things are just happening. I can just feel it in my bones. So yeah, thank you for being here today. Sorry I went MIA. Usually I upload every Wednesday, but being a generator, if not that I wasn't lit up by it, but I was just getting really called to take a step back. So that's what I did. I listened to my intuition, which obviously I want you guys to do the same. And I practice what I preach. So today we're talking all about the pill and all the facts that I guess you need to know to make an informed decision. Why I wanted to talk about this is over the Christmas break, I reread The Pill, which is a fantastic book if you're wanting to get all of the answers. Literally everything you need to know about the pill is literally in this book because it's called The Pill, but it also covers other hormonal contraception, whether it's like the ring or the rod, the Mirena. I mean, they're the brand names, but like implants. If you have those as well, it's the same thing. Basically what they're talking about is any injected or hormonal contraception. And I think the biggest thing that really struck me, which I'll talk about more in a second, is it's the only medication that perfectly healthy women take to stop their fertility. And why that's bad is because you being fertile means you're healthy. If you're not fertile, then there's something wrong because we have a natural rhythm in our bodies being a female, and yeah, the pill interrupts that. So I'll get into that more in a moment, but I just wanted to start off by saying, although personally I choose to not take the pill, I have done before. I was put on it when I was like 15, went on and off, went on the Mirena for a little bit, but now for about the past 2 years I choose not to take anything. Because this method of, I guess we call it fertility awareness method, which is not taking any hormonal medication, just simply being aware of your natural body rhythms, obviously that's come with a lot of research and trial and error. Not error, I haven't had a pregnancy before, but just getting more used to your body's natural rhythms and flows. It's going to take time. I'm not going to say it's overnight, because if you were like me, taking the pill for so long, then coming off it, it took me a while just to get used to what my body felt like normally and what I should be feeling in my natural moods. And we're different people every day. And I guess taking that pill sort of masks that those natural rhythms. So if you do take the pill and feel really great on it, that's amazing. Basically why I wanted to make this episode is just to give you all the information you needed, because I know when I sat down with my doctor, each time that I wanted to go on the pill, they never brought up the side effects. They never brought up any other options. They didn't give me any non-hormonal contraception options or education around my fertility. They just gave me the pill and said, okay, see ya. There was really nothing else. And I, for one, to be honest, like, I'm not one that would pull out the pamphlets of like medication and read it back then anyway. Now I might, but back then I wouldn't. So I didn't know any of the side effects. I just took it because everyone else took it and it was normal. And I guess it was like a sexual liberation thing of taking the pill and being able to express yourself freely and not worry about having a child if you didn't want one at that time. So yeah, I guess I first went on it for acne when I was 15, and then went on and off for quite a while. And then I think I've said in past episodes I was on the Marina. And it just, my skin got so bad. And this also goes, anything that I'm sort of saying now, any of the side effects, is also for the Marina or for the rod. Because they're injecting the same hormones into your body. It's just coming in a different way. So most of them have similar, if not the same, side effects as well. So it sort of covers all of it. So yeah, I just want to give you all the information that I wish I knew when I started taking it, that I know now, that I really want to make public to everyone in the world, male and female. I think everyone should know this, because it's seriously one of the biggest drugs in the world right now. And it's just, yeah, we should know more about it. So I might start off with a little bit of history. So the pill was actually first created in the 1960s, and it was presented to the world as the modern way for women to manage their fertility. And it has done some epic things for female rights, that's for sure. And it's like it created this sexual revolution. Women were able to take charge of their fertility if they didn't want any more children. Say, I mean, back in the 60s, things are a lot different than they are now. If you were in a marriage and your husband really wanted a child, or boyfriend, whatever, you had the ability to stop that. I know we have a lot more rights now, but maybe back then we didn't. And it was like this charge forward for feminine, or feminism, if you want to say, and that point of view of the pill I really love, because without that we wouldn't be where we are today, which is amazing. But I'll go into a little bit more of how the pill has evolved as well. And even today, for many women, young women, older women exploring their, I guess, their contraceptive choices, the pill is often presented as the only responsible way to manage the fertility if you are going to like a general GP. And even if you're going to your GP with skin complaints, as I did, or like skin problems or irregular cycles, maybe you have a really odd cycle, it never comes, or it comes very sporadically, maybe a couple of times a month. And they also put it on, give you the pill to have a period-free exam or honeymoon. If you've got a special event coming up and you really don't want your period, you take the pill, because you can, I guess, control it in a way that is not normal. I actually remember, yes, sitting in my doctor's office getting like another prescription. I think I'd been on it for quite a while now. She told me that, yeah, she said it's perfectly healthy to keep taking the pill for a whole 3 months and skip the sugar pills. And she wanted me to actually do this. And I remember thinking, like, what the hell? Why would I do that? And like I said before, just remembering the pill is the only prescription drug in the world used long term. People take it for like 10 to 20 years. It's used long-term on healthy young women. And if you think about it, women go into their doctors healthy. Absolutely nothing wrong with them, except maybe they want to express themselves sexually and not ready to have children yet, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly fine. But then they start taking the pill, which causes health problems. And well, it did for me anyway, which I've only just recently recovered from, and I've been off the pill for 2 years now. So everyone's different, but I want to give you all the facts. There's basically about, it's said to be about 100 million women taking the pill today across the world, which is, insane, because I say it on my Instagram all the time, and it just doesn't make sense. So basically, as women, we are only fertile 6 days of the whole entire month, meaning if we have sex out of those 6 days, maybe they ejaculate in you, you have a very low chance of getting pregnant because it's closed. Basically, you ovulate, you release the egg, and then the egg goes away. There's only that short little window that you can actually conceive a child. Out of that, you can go for gold. And that is what fertility awareness methods are, is getting you used to knowing your own ebbs and flows, your natural rhythm, when your mood changes, when your cervical fluid changes, that tells you, or when your temperature changes as well, that tells you when you're ovulating and when you're not. So you can make an informed decision of what you want to do. Whether you're trying to have a baby or vice versa, if you're not wanting to have a baby, you can use it both ways. And women, we're only fertile those 6 days. I'm pretty sure it was like six maximum for like the normal 28-day cycle. But then we turn to our male counterpart, and they are fertile 365 days of the year, pretty much their whole life. So why are we the ones taking hormonal contraception? Who knows? There was actually a male version of the pill made. I did some research around this, and I couldn't find the exact article that I read it from. I found it in another book, but basically, so there was a male version of the contraceptive pill that was made for them, and they did a clinical trial, and it didn't go further than the clinical trial because all the men were complaining of like depression and aches and pains and mood swings and low sex drive. It just makes me laugh because, here we are still taking it in 2021, a medication that was made in the 60s, but they do a trial, it didn't work. You take that information how you want it, but basically I just wanted to let you know there. So going back in time, back in from the 60s to 1975, when the pill was originally made, it was a really, really, really high dose. And there was reports saying that this version of the pill was causing blood clots, strokes, amputations, permanent disability, and death at the top of the list. And although, yes, they have changed the pill over time, I think they called it like the third generation at the moment, it can still have that similar side effects. And I'm sure if you do the research, you will see that yourself. And whilst there is a lower dose in the pills that are made from now, obviously coming after the 1975s, but these pills are still so much higher than our natural hormone levels. And it might be interesting to know like how powerful our naturally produced hormones are and how little is needed for a healthy human functioning body. So hormones are generally measured in like parts per trillion. So in order to collect a teaspoon of estrogen, we need to distill blood from 250,000 women of childbearing years. And this gives you an idea of how amazing and finely balanced our hormones are, our natural hormones. And the benefit of gentle fertility awareness methods for balancing hormones instead of smashing our bodies with the synthetic hormones. I might do another episode on fertility awareness methods. I could speak all day on them. They're really interesting, and there's different methods you can do. So there is a way out if you didn't want to take hormonal contraception forever. But basically, the number one job that the pill has, so you can get different ones. You've got like the mini pill, which is progesterone only, or you can get the normal pill, which has estrogen and progesterone. Remembering they are synthetic, they are nowhere near the same as our normal hormones inside of our body. But the one job it does have, it's to stop ovulation, because around day 14, 15, even 16, depending on your cycle, that's around the time that you're ovulating, and which means that an egg is being released down the fallopian tube, if you want to get really scientific with it, and that is where the sperm can swim up and you can conceive. So basically the pill, its job is to stop ovulation, and it does this by thickening your cervical fluids, your mucus, and that creates a really thick barrier so sperm physically can't swim through it. And what it also does is the pill stops the release of progesterone and testosterone, because when it, at the time of ovulation, you get a surge of this, which is your sex drive. So if you were experiencing low sex drive from going on the pill, it is because it is stopping ovulation. That egg is not being fertilized, it's not being released. And when the egg is not released, you don't get the testosterone, you don't get the progesterone, and that is your high sex drive. That's what's needed to have a high sex drive. So it makes total sense as why you're feeling like that. And honestly, coming off the pill for me, I didn't like go overnight and come off the pill and have a high sex drive. I actually wasn't ovulating for a year and a half after coming off it. It hasn't been until like the last 6 months that I've actually properly had a proper cycle. And it's gone from, I think my cycle used to be about 36 days. Like, I always had a period and I was always fine. I never had any pain, but I wasn't ovulating. And if you have a little bit of a longer cycle, you can determine that like the normal range is between 28 and 34, 35. If it's a little bit longer, sometimes that means that you were not ovulating. And then also checking your basal body temperature every morning, you can also determine if you are ovulating. So yeah, mine always stayed the same throughout the month. So I was able to determine, yes, I wasn't ovulating, but because I know what I do know now, I did so much research. I didn't really see anyone. I just did a lot of research myself and made some lifestyle changes. And now I ovulate every month, and it's literally the best thing ever, because who doesn't want a high sex drive? It's better for me, to be honest. I just love it. So yeah, it stops that egg being released. So that is such a detrimental part of being a woman. And the pill is taking that away from us. And another thing that it does, it tricks your body into thinking that you're already pregnant. So I want you to imagine if you were actually pregnant 365 days a year for 20 years. Imagine if you were on it from like you were 15 to about 35, which is normal. If you wanted to start a family at 35, you come off it, you've been on the pill for 20 years. Think of the damage that this would have on your body. And I guess if, like I said before, I never really looked at the packets of the pill, but if you do look, you'll find warnings and information about possible side effects. And while other forms of hormonal contraception, you're fine, you'll be given information to read, I want you to read it carefully, because the manufacturers of these products are obliged by law to include the list of known side effects. However, be aware that they are also taking great care to word the information in their leaflets in such a way to suggest these side effects are rare and can happen to women who don't take the pill as well. So if I used to work, I didn't work for the pharmaceutical industry, I used to like plan their dinners and events and stuff. Very interesting society to be in. If you think about it, they conduct research as well. So you need to eat whatever research you're looking at, whether it's for the pill or not, any research you're looking into, look at who funded the study, because chances are the person that funded the study has a biased view on it. And there's so many studies out there that they choose not to produce or release the information for, and vice versa, because if you have the money rules, if you've got money, and pharmaceutical industry is bloody loaded, they have the money and the resources to do that. So I just want you to be treading with care and ease and just question everything, trust nothing. And I take this with everything in your life. I want you to trust nothing and question everything. If something feels off for you, there is a reason why it feels off, and really trust that intuition of yours. So even things, even on the pamphlet, it might say like, it might cause depression or weight gain. So they can say, who was really to say you would get depressed or put on weight after starting the pill? So for drug companies, it's simply good business for women to doubt that the pill is the cause of their issues, the cause of their distress. They have one job, they want to sell you the pill. They don't really care about anything else, just like any other big corporation like that, that don't really have the best interest at heart. But now so much more research is coming up into the light, which is amazing. I love that. And we are educating ourselves more, and there's nothing more liberating for women to be highly educated on things that they're putting on their body, in their body, whether that be food or your makeup, even your face wash or lotions and everything. So I want you just to really question things of where they came from, who's behind it. Could you get an alternative even for like a local brand that makes really natural products, vice versa? And if you are on the pill right now, I really encourage you just to be really present with yourself, and do take note if you are feeling like if anything's off or it doesn't feel right. Really trust your intuition and what's right for you. If you feel like you want to come off it but you have no idea where to go next, there are so many different modalities out there. A book that I would recommend is Taking Charge of Your Fertility. I'll leave it in the show notes. That was the very first book I read about anything hormone related. It goes into depth. It's like a textbook all about natural fertility awareness methods that you can do with, doesn't need any pill, nothing. It just needs your brain. So that would be the first place I would tell you to turn to if you wanted to look for alternatives. And obviously, if you are weaning yourself off the pill, do see a health professional before you do so. And there's also some things if you are coming off the pill and you want to take charge, maybe prep your body beforehand, seeing a naturopath or a nutritionist will really help prep your body for when it happens and you won't have those big side effects. Because coming off the pill, if you went on the pill for like acne or something like that, chances are, because it acts as a mask, when you come off the pill, those problems are most likely going to arise straight again because you haven't dealt with the core of the issue. So a really great practice to do before you come off the pill is, yeah, to seek out that professional, the naturopath, nutritionist to heal your body inside from the inside out. So when you do come off it, you don't find those things flare up again. So another thing I want to advise you on is the bleeding you get on the pill is not a real period. I know it looks like a period, it feels like a period, and it arrives at the same time every month, but it's not a period. The way, I guess, birth control pills work is to stop that conversation between your pituitary gland and your ovaries, and it shuts down that body's natural production of hormones, and the synthetic hormones in the pill mimic pregnancy, like I said before. However, the hormonal rations are not at all what they should be in a healthy woman who is menstruating regularly. And the bleeding you experience on the pill is labeled, or what we call it, as a breakthrough bleed in reaction to the placebo week. So otherwise known as like that sugar week. So this drop in the synthetic hormones allows your lining to shed a little, so it doesn't build up to a dangerous point, I guess. But that shedding is not a period. It has nothing to do with ovulation and nothing to do with the menstrual cycle. I know, bummer, right? And if you're thinking of coming off the pill, even if you had no problems going on the pill, quitting the pill can cause problems. So even if you were completely symptom-free before you went on the pill, you can, before you started it, and you went on it for contraceptive purposes only, you may experience a sudden onslaught of hormonal issues. So once you come off it, and it's unfair, I know, but the reasoning is the exact same. The pill has destroyed your micronutrient stores within your microbiome. So it's all out of whack now. And it compromised your ability to, I guess, efficiently metabolize your estrogen. So none of these things contribute to a healthy, symptom-free flow. So yeah, if you are thinking of coming off it, just keeping that in mind and also seeking professional help from maybe holistic natural modalities such as a naturopath or a nutritionist if you are thinking of doing that. Even acupuncture is a really great preventative practice to do as well. Another thing it does is it robs you from B vitamins. So there is a proven connection between birth control pills and the depletion of vitamin B6, which helps your body produce energy. So long term, this B6 deficiency can cause everything from depression to decreased brain function, and that's a pretty big deal. And along with everything else, it also disrupts your microbiota. And studies show that the use of these hormonal contraceptives alters the normal microbiota of the vagina, which obviously can lead to those increased UTIs, yeast infections. I know I fell culprit to that so many times. I used to have them. If it wasn't a UTI, it was a yeast infection every week. It was debilitating at some points. But I never made the connection that it could be my pill. And yeah, lo and behold, as soon as I stopped the pill, it went away. And also, it permanently suppresses your testosterone response. So naturally, your sex drive, like I said before, should peak around ovulation, but the pill prevents it from happening. And not only that, but the synthetic hormone mix really destroys your testosterone reserves, which along with a holistically balanced hormonal system is the key to your sexual desire and enjoyment. Ladies and men on the other side, studies have also shown that the pill can even lower your ability to orgasm or make orgasms less intense. Now, in saying this, the brain is so profound. I've had clients that come into the clinic for orgasms and they're on the pill and they've been able to receive it after the sessions. Not from me, obviously, but they've gone home and there was a switch in their brain. And you can still have great sex drive and everything on the pill, but this could be an underlying factor of maybe why you don't experience really that enjoyful sex in your own personal life. And last but not least, this is a really, really funny study that I really love, but multiple studies actually have shown that the pill disrupts your pheromones. So long story short, it actually makes you choose the wrong guys and they act outside of the body rather than inside. So pheromones create our own personal perfume as such. We use this scent to match up with a mate that is genetically suitable. We are supposed to be. I always thought it was weird because I met Matt on Tinder. But seriously, his body odor or his pheromones, I can literally spend all day in his armpits. Even though it's like his scent, oh, it just smells so good. I'm really attracted to like his pheromones. So, but as women, we use this scent to match up with a mate that is genetically suitable. And we are supposed to be attracted with men who are genetically dissimilar to ourselves. Because we want to do that as a consequence of lowering, I guess, the chance of any miscarriages or increasing the likelihood of having a healthy baby, as well as making for a more satisfying sex and happier relationship. Usually, if you're off the pill, you are seeking something that is opposite than you. So it's really easy to do that. But when you're on the pill, you don't seek out this ideal man. Instead, you seek out men who smell like you, which makes for a bad romantic and health match. So ladies, if you're single and you're on the pill, just keep note of that. There's another study coming to mind right now. I remember reading back in, I guess, tribal settings, during ovulation, women would walk ages because they had to get out of their, I guess, their confines of their community to seek out someone that was really dissimilar to mate with, for obvious reasons. They didn't want anyone that was related to them. but apparently there was like a study done and like more women really love walking more towards like the ovulation time because of this. Like it's in our blood, I guess, or in our genes or genetic makeup. And being on the pill can really disrupt if we're trying to find like our forever person, our long-term mate, because yeah, we're picking the wrong people when we're on the pill. I guess I met him on Tinder, so I didn't smell Matt first and foremost, so that's probably why it worked. But yeah, it's a really cool fact, just keep that in mind. To finish off today, I just wanted to give you a little bit more extra facts that I've just read up on that I thought were quite interesting. And again, I'll list in the show notes where I've gotten all this information from. I didn't make it up out of thin air. I never make anything up. I do a lot of research, so I will list it all in the show notes if you want to investigate a little bit more. Again, never listen to anyone, even myself. If something doesn't feel right, question everything and do your own research. I fully, fully love when people take initiative and find out the truth that's true for them, because what's true for someone isn't necessarily going to be true for someone else, and you have to find your own truth. That's what life is about, really. So, facts. I found a fact saying women taking the pill were almost twice as likely to be depressed compared to those that weren't on the pill. The medical journal, The Lancet, I think that's how you pronounce it, don't quote me, found that the use of the pill before age 20 doubles the risk in breast cancer. Even the lowest dose pills have been found to cause a doubling of the risk for strokes and heart attacks. The pill alters at least 150 bodily functions and affects all your organs. Women who take oral contraceptives containing synthetic estrogen have increased chances of suffering from both migraine and non-migraine headaches. There's obviously more facts. As I said before, I have listed some research articles and things you can read up on below. There is so much more research out there now, and it's so empowering to know that we have a decision, a choice to make now. We can choose what's right for our own bodies. I could talk about this for hours, but I'll try and leave it at like the half an hour mark. I hope this has given you a bit of a brief overview, I guess, of the pill, giving you some more information of what you're putting in your body if you are on the pill, or maybe you know someone that's also on it. I just want to educate as many women out there of the facts, that's all. And yeah. If you really enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me just to reach out on Instagram or send me an email. I would love that. So without further ado, I hope you have an amazing Wednesday or week whenever you're listening to this, and I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear your key takeaways, so please leave a review on your favorite podcast app, and don't forget to share this episode on social media and tag me @CarlyJade. Now go out and find your feminine.